Hallelujah.
To you.
Well, Glory, we appreciate all of you being here with us tonight. And Homer shared with me the other day, he said, when you feel it's the right time, he said, I really believe I have something from the Lord. He never asks. And that's kind of how we were raised in the Spirit. Pastor Dave raised us where we don't ask to minister. We just, if we have something to share, we just say, I think I've got something. And when it's time, and I said, he said, you just pray about it. And I did, and I got right back with him. I said, well, how about this coming Wednesday night? So, hallelujah. Miss Candy's not here, but she's watching. She just didn't want to be here for Homer. That's the thing. And no, yeah, his wife's not here, so I don't feel bad about my wife's not being here. And his buddy, I love it. I already like you. All right, ready. He said we came because we feel sorry for him. So, but the crowd has increased, Homer, since you first came in. So praise the Lord. So Harry, would you bring up our guest all the way from Jefferson? Yeah. West. Hallelujah. There you go, my man. Hallelujah.
I don't like that guy no more.
Yeah. I like him.
Hallelujah. Robert, just float me for a little bit, Robert. Yeah, hallelujah. Oh, my gosh. Jesus. Allow me a little bit to exhort you before we get into some solid doctrine. It's a shame that the body of Christ, so many serve God by deficit, need, hurt, want, and there's nothing wrong with that. Deficit, you know, our marriage is falling apart, our husband doing this, our wife's doing that, I'm hurting for money. I need to press into God. That's deficit, man. There's nothing wrong with that. He's a supplier. He's our God. But listen to these words. And I told God, I don't want to go up there today with anything premeditated. Nothing. I want to just flow from the Holy Spirit. Listen to the words of an ex, not me, an ex-murderer and an adulterer, King David. Listen to what he said. These words have been in my spirit. I've asked God, enlarge my heart with these words, O Lord. He said, because no deficit, no want, no need, no hurt. He said, because your loving kindness is better than life. In this psalm, he had no deficit. He had no need. He said, because your loving kindness is better. By the way, it's the 63rd psalm that I've been meditating. Because your loving kindness is better than life. Listen to what he said. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Listen to what he said. Thus will I bless you while I live. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus will I bless you while I live. Listen to what he said. I will lift up my hands in your name, and my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips. That is a relationship of love. No deficit, no need, no hurt, just because Almighty God was his God. Just because. No deficit, no need. Lord, just because 30 years ago you redeemed me by your blood when I was so lost. You came into my room at 5 o'clock in the morning with the presence of God and you broke me. I fell to my knees and I cried out, Jesus, you are the Christ of God. Just because that day you gave me my wife back. You redeem my soul with your blood. For that reason do I get up this morning, Lord. Because you redeem me with the blood of your Lord, of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. No need, Lord. No hurt this morning. Just an appreciation of the blood of Christ. That's all, Lord. So what does a man like me do with being born again so radically 30 years? What do I do with it? What do I do with my born again conversion? Being radically saved 32 years ago, 30 something years ago, I don't know. What do I do with it? Do I thank him for saving me? Do I thank him for giving me my wife back and my life? Do I thank him? Do I live my whole life bragging that I'm born again? Or do I live out of that born again experience? There is a difference. What do I do? I found out years later that if I had not given my life to Christ, my wife was going to leave me. This was 32 years ago. Somebody was paying attention to my wife the first year of my marriage. Somebody was paying attention to her. And I can't blame her. This isn't about that. She said, but I couldn't leave you. He said, but I almost made a mistake, honey. I'm glad you gave your life to Christ. So did I. And I didn't make that mistake. But I was going to. So what do I do? What does a man like me do that was so perverted? I was thinking the other day, and I'm going to get into some doctrine. I used to hear a song, big dog. I used to hear a song. And I was this close to something so perverted. So perverted. I used to hear a song. And I used to get strung out on coke and crack. This is what the song said, Pastor. I'm a disciple of Satan with work to do. S&M. It's a song about ridiculous, pathetic sex. And I love that song. I used to sing it happily, all strung out on coke. I'm a disciple of Satan with work to do. S&M. That is some nasty, perverted junk. Nasty. Nasty. It's nastier than nasty. I didn't get involved in it, but I was hearing that music. Had I not come to Christ, I would have been caught up in that filth. Had I not come to Christ, I would have lost my wife. She said, but I couldn't leave you. I said, she said, why? Why? He said, I thought you would kill me. That's what my wife said. I thought you would kill me. And she was probably right. So I'd be in prison right now because she probably would have been dead 32 years ago. I guarantee you she would have been. So what does a man like me do with such a past? Do I dwell on it? No, not at all. I've been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. So what do? Do I thank him for what he's done? Do I progress out of what he's done? I say, I've been redeemed by his blood, purchased by his blood. I owe him my life, man. I won't stay talking about my born again conversion, but I'll live out of that conversion into his raw power. I got so much to be thankful for, but I got so much more to live for. His grace, his glory, display of the kingdom. My prayer has been lately, weeping and crying, Lord, I was so lost. Had I not come to Christ, my wife would have run off. I would have probably killed her. I would have been in prison. Maybe I wouldn't be alive today. But here I am. So what do you do? What do I do with such a God that I serve? What do I do? My prayer has been this. Your grace, Lord, to be as they. Your grace to be as they. They who? I'm glad you asked. I got a good testimony of where I was. But my testimony with you is where I'm going to go. And what I want out of Jesus the Christ. So for the last 2 or 3 weeks, month, I said, Lord, give me the grace to be as they. I owe you so much. Instantaneously, Lord, through your life in me, I loved my high school sweetheart again. I got 14 grandkids and 6 kids, Lord. Haven't done drugs in 32 years. I'm so in love with my wife. My God, you purchased me with your blood. I owe you my life. Make me to your grace as one of they. What are you talking about, Homer? Elaborate. I will. And I will cry out in the morning, not in deficit, not in want, not in need, not with a broken heart. I cry out, big dog. I said, Lord, the grace to be as they. And I weep and I cry because I can't believe what I'm saying. But you can't pray in the spirit all day long and then not be an internal change inside of you. Something changes that you can't control because the Holy Ghost is changing you. I think Pastor Brock knows where I'm going with this, but I said, Lord, your grace. And I sit on my recliner and I sit there and I get on my bed and I kneel down and I said, Lord, your grace, Lord, to be as they. And I weep and I cry. I said, your grace, Dad. I call him Dad sometimes, Pastor Brock. I sound corny. I said, Dad, your grace to be as they. I mean it. He purchased me with his blood. I pray, Lord, when I'm in your presence in the morning, may all my will be eradicated. And may my heart be enlarged with your word to the glory of God the Father. So Lord, purge my heart of me. Purify my heart. I judge myself in your midst, Lord. Your grace to be as they. I will not be a dime a dozen Christian. I would rather be dead than be a dime a dozen Christian. I said, your grace, Almighty God, to be as they. Who are they, Homer? We preach the gospel of the kingdom in this church. The full gospel of the kingdom. My heart's desire is to love him as they. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. Let's elaborate through the scriptures who that they are. He said, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Listen, and they loved not their own life till the death. Make me as one of the they, Lord, that has no regard for what I want in life. Eradicate my will by Holy Spirit, Father. Enlarge my heart with your will to love you as they did, that did not love their life till the death, Lord. Your grace to be as they that took it to the end, regardless of what they went through. They loved you and they did not love their life till the death. Only thing they wanted was the Father, to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Had no regard for their wants and no regard for nothing but the gospel of the kingdom. I said, Lord, make me as one of they through your grace, Lord, that I have no regard for myself, that I live to honor the King that redeemed me and saved me by his blood. Your grace, oh God, your grace to be as they that love not their own life till the death. That spirit is in me and that spirit is in you. The Lord said, I want you to share words with the church on Wednesday. I want you to share these words with the tip of the spear. Those that usually come on Wednesdays, we're all children of God. Some are happy once a week attendance church. Some aren't. I'm not. Your grace to be as one of they, Lord, that did not love their life till the death. Being a Christian, the modern day church has failed. We're so self-centered. We think the gospel is about us. No, the gospel is about Christ in us. How will we react to the world? Too many believers serve God by feeling and not by knowing. There is a big difference. If you serve God by feeling, you will be disappointed. But if you serve God by knowing, when disappointment comes, you won't be disappointed because you serve Him by knowing. I got a call yesterday from a social worker again from DaVita. 9 questions. Sir, do you feel better off dead or alive? That's what he asked me. I got to ask you these questions. How's your accountable partner? Let me tell you one thing. I don't need an accountable partner. Pastor Brunk is the best friend that I don't hang around with. He doesn't call me to see if I'm praying. I don't need anybody to check on my prayer life. Why? Because I'm in love with the King. You don't call me to see if I'm fasting. I'm in love with the King. I don't need accountable partners. Give me a break, man. Sir, do you think you're better off alive or dead? Well, ask my wife. I got life insurance. See what she tells you. You know, I was being sarcastic because I really didn't want to talk to him. Are you depressed? No. Again, every month, asking the same questions. How's Dallas going? Oh, I drove today. It's going good, sir. They even asked me, I'm going to be real PG about this. How's your life with your wife? I said, that's none of your business, man. They asked that question, Pastor Brunk, out loud. Oh, I'm gonna shock him one day. Yeah, he'll never ask me again. What do you do in the house? I said, well, sir, I lift weights. I get on the treadmill. By yourself? Yeah. Are you okay? Yeah. He paused. I said, sir, word for word, I have a relationship with God, sir. And my God sustains me through all that I go through. You can't understand my joy, sir. See, you feel sorry for me, sir, because to you, I can't see. To you, my kidneys are failing. You feel sorry for me, sir. I don't feel sorry for me. I'm sustained by the Spirit of my God. I'm asking for grace, sir. I didn't tell him this. To lay it all down for the King. And you all know if I'm ready to die yet. No, sir. If I die, I'll die when I'm done, or I'll die a martyr. One of the two. That's the only way to die. It's not biblical for a saint to die of sickness. You can't show me where the apostles died of sickness. They were martyred. The gospel of the kingdom is about Him in us. I don't care what you do to me. The gospel isn't written for me to receive from you. You can talk about me, terrorize me, steal from me, cheat on me. It won't change Christ in me. It doesn't matter how you treat me, it's how I treat you. Christ in me. the hope of glory. It's been years since I've needed an apology from anybody. You don't owe me an apology. Only Christian wimps need apologies. I've been redeemed by the blood of Christ. My life is about how I treat you, not how you treat me. If you treat me and it affects me, then I served how you treated me. But if I'm in love with him, treat me how you want. It won't fade me. You know why? You know why it won't fade me? Because love never hurts. Or you can't hurt love. You heard me? You cannot hurt love. If you're hurt because you're serving Christ for yourself and not for his glory. You cannot hurt love. If you're hurt, then you're not made perfect in love. Now, it's a progression. Yes, I'm with you. I've been hurt before. But the more and more I grow into Christ, it's deposited in me that true love can't be hurt. If you hurt me, it's because I had the capacity to be hurt. The gospel is about my reaction towards you, not how you treat me, man. I don't care if you steal from me. The gospel is about living out of a sanctified spirit, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. That is our abode. That's what we live out of. First John chapter 4. Verse 7. Got a lot to say, but I'm going to keep it so simple today. So simple. John said, 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us what? Love. The word beloved is dearly, means dearly loved. Dearly loved. Let us love one another. For love is of God. I'm quoting you, King James. Don't boo me. Dearly beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. Beloved, let us love one another. First of all, the church, the corporate church, has slaughtered love one another. You know, that is a commandment. It's kingdom law to love one another. But we have slaughtered, we, the corporate body of Christ in America, the modern day American church is so modernized, so compromised, and so pathetic in many cases. He said, beloved, let us, who that are beloved, that are dearly loved, let us love one another. For love is of God. Everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. We slaughtered something that Christ said was a commandment, to love one another. How have we slaughtered it? We've added some attachments to let us love one another. We've esteemed love one another as optional. We hold love one another as a suggestion. We've said without saying, I'll love contingent, contending on the I will love dependent on what they did to me. We esteemed it optional. We've called it a suggestion. And we said without saying, well, I'll love, Lord, dependent on what they did to me. That is the majority of the body of Christ. It's sad. He said, beloved, there's no attachment there. There's no, it's not optional. It's not a suggestion. It's not dependent. It is the way of the kingdom. Through faith in Christ, my citizenship is now kingdom. Likewise, my lifestyle, what I speak and what I do is also now kingdom. Love is not a suggestion based on what they do to you. Love is not an option. If you hold it as an option, if you hold it as a suggestion, you don't know him in intimacy. If you need an apology, you don't know him in intimacy. He said, beloved, let us, who, those that are dearly loved, let us love one another, for everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. That word know is a verb. It is a powerful word. It means in the Greek, when a husband and wife know each other, enough said, right? It's that kind of knowing when the husband and wife marry and they are with each other. It's that intimate. I can't live off what happened to me 30 years ago being born again. I got to live out of that born again conversion into knowing my Father in a way that will make me love you. Not as a suggestion. Not optional. Not dependent on what you do to me. It shouldn't matter what you do to me. Christ said, if you love me, keep my commandments, plural. The love of God works out of here. If I obey him in here, what's in here will be manifest out there. I'm not getting on to you. I'm helping you because the way he showed me is what I'm showing you. I don't serve him with in deficit or in want or in need. If your world is falling apart, it's because you had the capacity for your world to fall apart. How I react in tribulation, that's really me. He said, beloved, Homer, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. You know one thing that I do that really helps me love more and more? I get up in the morning. I go to the kitchen, turn on the coffee maker, because I usually get up pretty early. As you know, because I send texts in the middle of the morning sometimes to everybody. I get on my recliner. Now my boys are up sometimes getting ready for work, so I just, me and Harry hang a lot together in his instrumental. Just push play. Instrumental plays. I said, oh, Jesus, hey, it's me. I love you. I love you, Jesus. I'm not asking you for anything, Jesus. Because your loving kindness, Lord, is better than life. My lips shall praise you. Thus will I bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name, and my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. I don't need nothing, Lord. I don't need nothing. Because all that I need is in your presence. These eyes are being opened in your presence. These kidneys are being healed without me feeling them getting healed, because I believe your word. Psalm 119 says, you are my hiding place and shield. I hope in your word. I love you, Jesus. And I'll tell you this much. My times of worship are up there now. Now I'm having a hard time. The worship has been so good and so personal and so intimate. I'm having a hard time getting into the word now, because it's that good. But I forced myself. Okay, it's been a while. So here comes the CDs. With that intimacy of knowing him, it's allowed me, give me the grace to change my confessions, to see things that I couldn't see before. Love is not optional. It's not a suggestion. It's not dependent on what you do to me. It's me living out of who he is inside of me. He is the perfect example, the prototype, because he is love. I just don't want to be born again. I want to know him. That's why this, it doesn't own me. I've said it all. It doesn't own me. It does not own me. I don't wake up to pray to be healed. I wake up to pray to be with the healer. I won't wake up and pray in deficit. I won't do it. But I'll wake up and praise the one that redeemed me by his blood. And I will know him, Lord, the grace to be as they that love not their life to the death. That's what I'm looking for, my friend. What are you looking for? The love that cannot be hurt. That's what I'm looking for. That is my heart's cry. The love that cannot be hurt. The love that wants nothing else. But this, in the voice, I don't know if she's here tonight or not, my good friend Amanda Picado, she uses the word secret place all the time. I want to wake out of bed in the morning, go to that secret place. Me and my God. Asking him for the grace to make me as they. To be transformed into the love that has never hurt. That is my prayer. I don't beg him to heal me. lift up my hands to the healer. I lift up my voice now and thanking him for his blood. The body of Christ. We have to get over ourselves and live out of who he is inside of us. It says in 1 John, "No, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." Listen to what he said. I'm almost done. "No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us." No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us. But nobody's seen him. But he who no one has seen dwells in me. No one has seen God at any time. But if we love one another, God dwelleth in us. So nobody's seen him. But if you love one another, he who nobody's seen dwells in you. So, well, I'm not smart. So, nobody's seeing God at any time. But if I love you, he that no one's seen dwells in me. So guess if he never been seen dwells in me, and if I love you and he dwells in me, then guess who is going to be seen? Almighty God. Because this love isn't just, "Lord, I love you. I don't commit adultery. I don't fornicate. I don't cheat. I don't steal. I don't cheat on my taxes." No, no. This love is a love that's never hurt. This love is the love that has no regard for his own life. Why? To live out the kingdom of God. The God, no one's seen him, but if you love one another, he that no one's seen dwells in you. So if I love you, he that dwells in me will be seen by you in me. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've what? You've seen the Father. No one has seen God at any time, Homer. But if you love one another, God dwells in you. The God that dwells in you, if you love like Jesus loved, him who's never been seen will be seen in your life, Homer. Will you lay down your life? Will you be the one that loved? Will you be the one that hurt? Will you be the one that's never hurt at all? Will you be the one that abides in love that's never hurt? Will you be the one that will be as they that love not their life till the death? First John 3, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. Here we go now. As we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Lord, through your grace, make me as they, Lord. Make me as they. One that loves not his life till the death. Lord, you can't hurt love. I'm walking to that place, Lord. But I know it exists. Love never hurts. Regardless of what's done to it. Love never hurts. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us. They haven't seen him. He who's never been seen dwells in me, big dog. If I love like the Christ, he that dwells in me will be seen by the world. I think it's called revival. That is the kingdom of God. That is the kingdom of God. So that, beloved, let us love one another. Oh, man. That's not your ordinary love, man. It's a lay down your life kind of love. No matter what they say, no matter what they do, it's not how you treat me, man. It's about how I treat you. The other day, I was in tears. I couldn't believe, big dog, I was saying, Lord, I want to be as they. As they that love not their life to the death. And I said this to the Lord. It was so intimate. I said, Lord, if I'm ever put in a place where I'm being martyred for the faith, may your high strength, your grace, so empower me that through your grace, the pain isn't even felt, Lord. May your grace, may your high strength be so strong in me that it doesn't matter. I'm here to glorify you. Take me there, Father. My life in Christ in its entirety is to glorify the Father in heaven. It should have no other purpose than to glorify our Father in heaven. To walk in the love that never hurts. Lord, through your grace, make us as they. That is simplicity. That's what he wanted me to share with the tip of the spear. Your life, my life, is not our own. His blood purchased us. Our will in his presence is to be eradicated. And his will so enlarged inside of me. I'm winding down. What time is it, big dog? Anybody got the time? Oh, wow. The other day, I made a phone call somewhere because it's Father's Day weekend. And my wife said, go to Dallas's on Friday. We want to take you out Saturday. So I called. Sometimes they can get me in early. Sometimes they can't. I don't like really calling them because when they get me in a day prior, because someone had to go to the hospital, so they canceled. And that's never good. So I called and the lady got real sarcastic with me. Why are you leaving? Why'd you treat me? She was rude. And I kept my composure. And they answered back softly, according to Christ in me. And I hung up the phone. Before you amen what I say, hear me out. I said to myself, wow, you handled that well. But I didn't want to handle it well. Her comments disturbed me. There's a place of knowing Christ where her comments won't disturb me. I will find that place. Because love does not hurt. I will find that place, big dog. I will find that place. And every morning that I get up at 2, 3, 4, it doesn't, every time that I get, every morning, I get closer and closer to his glory. Closer and closer to that mortification. And Lord, your grace to make me as they. They that love not their life till the death. And that word not, they love not their life to the death, is the Greek word ou, means they absolutely did not love their life. They had no regard for their life for the gospel's sake. I answered her well on the phone, but I hung up. And I felt bad because for about 2 or 3 minutes she hurt my feelings. But love knows no hurt. That is the kingdom of God. Hereby perceive we the love of God in Christ. Because he, Christ, laid down his life for us as we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Love is not optional. It's not a suggestion. It's not dependent. It is the way of the kingdom. Through faith in Christ, my citizenship is now kingdom. Likewise, my lifestyle, what I speak and what I do, is also now kingdom. There's no ought in kingdom. There's no offense in kingdom. There's no hurt in kingdom. There's an everlasting, enduring love in kingdom. That, Pastor Bronk, is my heart cry. That is my heart cry from the depths of my heart. That is my heart cry. Lord, your grace to make me as they. Lord, your grace that I walk in love and never hurt, regardless of what they do to me. He showed up Saturday in dialysis. I can't explain it to you, but he was on me for the whole time I was there. Strong, man. Strong. I said for about 30 minutes straight, big dog, I said, love never hurts. And I cried. I said, love never hurts. I said, Lord, your grace. Grace, take me there, Lord, to be like the Christ, the Son of God. Your grace to be as they that love not their life till the death. That is my heart's cry. Stressed, depressed. No. Dying to self. Yeah. Oh Lord, enlarge my heart. Be my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. That word hiding place is the same Hebrew word as in Psalms 91. He that dwells in the secret place. It's the same Hebrew word. Word of God is what we live by. Let His word be your hiding place. I think I'm in love with a Jewish man, and his name is Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Hear these words. Love never hurts. Hear these words. Lord, may your grace make me as they. Revelation 12, verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their life till the death. That is Christianity. It's about him and us, not about how you treat me. Treat me the way you want to. It doesn't change kingdom inside of me. That is the message that he wanted me to share with the tip of the spear. Simplistic, but so profound, man. John 15, real quick, one more text. Starting in verse 16. Command is what we're looking for. Whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. If I ask in his name, and I'm not striving to walk in love, you're asking vanity. He said, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you. Fanny Persian, this is what I command you, Sixto, Lynn, Pastor Bronco. This is my commandment to you. Love like I love. The Christ was crucified for love. And all he did was say, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Love never hurts. Before I close tonight and give the mic to my pastor, Lord, your grace, Lord, to be as they that love not their life to the death. My life in Christ, Father, in its entirety should be to bring you glory, Father. To bring you glory. Eradicate my will. When I wake up in the morning again tomorrow, I thank you that my will is being eradicated and your will to be so enlarged inside of me to lay my life down even to the death, Lord. Your grace, Father, your high strength is your grace. I can't do it alone. By your grace, I got this. Because you are my hiding place and shield. I hope in your word. Family prayer center. To my good friend Sixto and his lovely wife, Marilyn, which I love deeply. They are so good friends of me and my wife. Oh my God. I went and heard them at a concert, at worship. They went and worshiped at a church Sunday. Oh, they love to praise Jesus. They love to sing to Jesus as husband and wife. We had a blast Sunday. Thank you for coming. He surprised me, him and his wife. they sing so good together. Why? Because their eyes are set on Christ. If it's okay with you, Pastor Bronk, I'd like to be your associate for 30 more years. That's all right with you. To be strengthened by his high strength and to love not my life till the death. Amen. Big dog.
Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Thank you, Homer, and thank you, Holy Spirit. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We thank you for your word. And Lord, we just yield to this word. We thank you, Lord. We give ourselves over. This is the greatest desire of our heart. And those that are watching, Lord, is to love not our life unto the death, not just the physical death, but the continuation of all that we are, yielding ourselves, humbling ourselves under your hand on a continual basis. Lord, we love you. Thank you for this word. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We bless the people in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Do not forget that it's Father's Day this coming Sunday. Join us. Be with us. And we appreciate it. If you have something to give tonight, there's a dispensary in the back. So God bless you. We love you. We'll see you Sunday. Amen.